This is a hard gospel to get our teeth into and our hearts around. It's a very difficult gospel because it seems to us that, as a matter of justice, those who worked the longest in the field, in the vineyard, should have been paid more than those that only worked an hour. If all you hear in that gospel is the sound of the cash register, and your mind and your ears and then your heart follow into terms of justice and money, then you have missed the point of that gospel. The trouble with most of us in the Western world and the very wealthy way in which we live is that we judge the world by financial standards. Finance, the power of the dollar or the power of money, is what drives so much of our life, our lifestyle. It drives our view of the world and it drives our view of individuals in the world. So that when we see somebody who has not much in the way of worldly possessions or stands at a shopping centre asking for financial assistance to feed or clothe themselves, many of us go straight to making a judgment on that person as being perhaps a lazy dull bludger or somebody who doesn't want to work. I know that not everybody does, but in the Western world, that's what the power of the dollar has done to most people. And it's interesting that the gap between those who have in Australia and those who have not is widening even further. So that the have not are probably living a life where they will never have. And the haves have so much that they don't even know what to do with it at times. No one is critical of people that are wealthy or those that have. It's what people do with what they've got that becomes the issue. And already, in my homily now, I have let the power of the dollar take over what the meaning of that gospel is, because that's so easy to do. But this gospel is actually about generosity, not about justice. We have made it about justice, and therefore we very often feel uncomfortable with it. It is not about justice, it is about generosity, and it's a story that highlights God's generosity. That's what it's about. The landowner made a contract with the first men for one denarius a day. He then said to the next lot, I'll give you a fair wage. Fair wage is, it turned out to be, one denarius a day. And then he gave to those that came last a fair wage, which he gave as one denarius as well. The point of the story is that our God is big. Our God is unknowable at times. And therefore, his generosity is very difficult for us to fathom at times. We could, if you like, try and find other examples that make God's generosity just a little bit easier to grasp. I think once we move away from issues of finance and we look at issues of life and issues of the heart, we start to get it a little bit more. We could easily link this gospel on generosity with the very well-known gospel from Luke on the prodigal son. You may remember that when the son returned to his father after being living or squandering all his finances and then living with the pigs, he came back to his father after he realised the error of his ways. And then off in the distance was the other son who stayed loyal and working. And the father treated the son who came back the same as he treated the son who was there all the time. The difference in the Gospels is that this one finishes up by saying, those who are first will be last, and the last will be first. But we'll come back to that in a second. But in terms of understanding the generosity of God, it's very difficult for us, I think, to truly grasp. We have to look at it in terms of the heart, not what we're wearing or what we're spending or what we're driving. Issues of the heart are where we discover the generosity of God. That's where God's generosity lies. And Jesus has put into this story a little barb at the end there, because he's addressing his audience through Matthew, who are Jews who became Christians. And they thought that they were the first. They were the ones that were sent into the vineyard early in the day and were going to get paid more. And then he was also addressing the Gentiles, the non-Jews, who came into the church late. And they were given exactly the same. Now, I find that so easy to understand, because God doesn't distinguish, as we hear in St. Paul, between Greek and Jew and Gentile and pagan. We make those differences and we drill that into some people as well. But the generosity of heart, the generosity of God, that is, it has no place for the language of what mankind means when he or she talks about being generous, which is usually linked to money. That's why the first reading from Isaiah goes on about God's ways are unfathomable by man. His ways in the heavens are unreachable by mankind. The way God manifests his love is through openness and generosity. It is not by public signs of stature. Not at all. And that's why Jesus uses the example to talk to the Jews who thought they were coming first, and then to the Gentiles who were treated so poorly initially. And then it was the apostles who started to live what Jesus asked them to live, by loving God and by loving neighbour. And it was only then that the struggles in the early church started to settle down a little bit, because the apostles got it. Eventually, it's all for one and one for all. Those who are first will be last, and those who are last will be first. If you want to tap in and relate to this gospel, then I suggest that you try and work on how generous is your heart. Not your planned giving, I know that. Not what you pop in the plate, I know that. You know, we're here, whereas many people in the world are not able to exercise the basic freedom that you do by being here tonight, because they have been judged as second class and therefore not worthy. We must never, ever let that happen in our community. And we must stop it happening in our country.